mothers,
and others.
Perhaps in music and parenting.
Somewhere in the music industry, between sex, drugs and rock and roll and the Wiggles, is the rest of us. Music Mothers and Others is an audio parents group about popular music, a chance to discuss how parenting fits or doesn't into music industry life. During the series, we talk to people from across the industry, artists, promoters, techs, broadcasters, writers, academics, teachers, anyone who has a gig in industry, whatever that means. Hosts are Liz, hello, and Shelley.
Hi, that's me.
And we are industry veterans, academics and parents, as well as members of the broader village.
So today we are talking to Adam H. Phillips and R. Alex Murray, the hosts and writers and producers and comedians and devoted fans who give the world Child's Play, the world's premier kids' bop review podcast. We first came across Child's Play thanks to a podcast feeder algorithm. It was a you might like this if you like that, and if you like this, then maybe this kind of recommendation. And even though we are worlds apart in many ways, dear, dear algorithm, we do like this show. So to tell us more about the Child's Play podcast and its inspiration, which is the American Kids Bop series of albums where kids cover existing hit songs, here is Adam and Alex all the way from the US of A. Welcome, Adam and Alex.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Here we are in the virtual flesh.
We did it.
Gentlemen, can I ask you, Kids Bop is something that hasn't made it to us in Australia. So do you maybe want to tell us a bit about yourselves and a bit about Kids Bop so that we can get a sense of it all?
Sure. I mean, Kids Bop is I think we got there, right? Kids Bop, I guess, in 2001, two lawyers named Cliff and Craig, they'd started a record label called Razor and Tie, and they were selling mostly like record compilation albums to your drunk dads and uncles, and they made a ton of money, and they both had kids, and they decided that actually what's y'all's somewhere in between, the tagline of this show is somewhere in between Sex, Drugs and Rock and Roll and the Wiggles.
Yep.
Their deal is somewhere between Barney and Britney. They were like, there's got to be something for 11-year-old kids, and their solution was to get, like, from what we can tell, pretty random adults to re-record hit songs of the day and then just market them to kids with like bright colors on the front of the album.
Oh my goodness.
And Kids Bop was born.
The statistic I always quote is that within a 10-year span, they had 22 Billboard top 10 albums on the charts. Like, this is a massively successful franchise.
Albums. Not kids albums. These chart every single time they drop one.
Wow.
It's absurd.
Well, this is where I get a little confused. So is it kids covering adult songs, and then that goes on just the regular chart? Tell me.
So what we did not realize when we started this was that in the beginning albums, it was children singing with an adult ringleader. And then around the Kids Bop 15 point, they pushed the adults aside and it became just songs sung by kids for kids.
Wow. Some of them are famous. Zendaya was one. Like, yeah, it's Mickey Mouse Club is sort of thing, right? Like, it's just this is not new. Craig and Cliff were not the first person who were like, hey, we can exploit the talents of children for money. not a new thought.
So did you explain in there, not to be too blunt, but what are you two doing listening to this? Like, is it nostalgia? Is it like, how did it, when I first heard it, I'm like, these are two grown men. I mean, I love it. And they're comedians, so clearly we're in on the joke. But like, and every once in a while you kind of cross over, like your last episode in particular, I'm like, you were really, that was some genuine love there. You weren't having to fake some of that. Like, how have you got into this?
to recap the origins, I came up with the concept for the show after watching a YouTube video of an adult my age, and it was called I Tried to Become a Kids Bop Kid, and he sent in an application. And as a fan of podcasting, I thought, you know, there's a billion and one podcasts for we watch a bad movie and talk about it. And mm-hmm. I was like, has anyone taken the time to, in America, I mean, Kids Bop is kind of a meme at this point. Has anyone taken the time to sit down with this music? And of course, I shot a message to Alex, and I was like, hey, is this anything? Is this idea a podcast? And he was like, unfortunately,
yes,
it is.
Because all ideas are podcasts. That's all you need. As the Buddha tells us, you take that first step and there's just more steps to take. So here we are, 22 album miles in, and yeah.
It's amazing.
And yeah, I guess to answer the question of what we're doing here, you know, it started for me, I think, as a place of like just pure comedy. Like, there's comedy in two adults looking at this music for kids and being and just seeing what we can find. And there's comedy in the context of the songs and the choices of censorship.
Yeah.
And but now, like our last episode, we arrived at a place where we were like, you know what, Kids Bop, you did okay by us. So it's
the Stockholm syndrome. It's a journey. This is what happened. It's 22 episodes in. I'm like, oh, I like this now.
Yeah, you've drunk the Kool-Aid, haven't you? Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I mean, why climb Everest, right? Like, it's there. This pile of nonsense was there. And we were like, I don't know, nobody else is sifting through it. Let's look around in there and see what there is to see.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Alex.
From the Child's Play podcast. And you're listening to
Music Mothers,
and others.
Can you tell us a bit about your musical memory? So any standout songs from when you were a kid, and it doesn't actually have to be kids' songs. It doesn't have to be, you know, your contemporaries in the Mickey Mouse Club or something like that. It can be, you know, songs that you've danced to or hung out with your parents. Yeah.
We didn't listen to a whole lot of that. I mean, I grew up, a lot of music happening all the time. We played instruments when we were kids, and clearly if you listen to the podcast, we play instruments now. And, you know, there was a piano in the house, and I grew up going to church and a lot of music at church. But I mean, my mom liked the Beatles and then like Chicago and, like big, you know, like horn, pop. She's a little younger than my dad. So it was like
horn pop,
I guess. It's just like, Chicago, ELO, you know, these bands with like a horn section in them, like pop bands. And then, my dad, a lot of Motown as well growing up. So like, I don't know, the two big things for me, like as a kid, I pulled, my mom had a copy of Led Zeppelin 4 because I guess everybody just had a copy of Led Zeppelin 4 if you were of that age. It's like everyone my age having a copy of, I don't know, Under the Table and Dreaming or Blues Traveler 4. And I pulled it out and I threw it, you know, it's like a big wizard in the middle of it. And I was like, kick ass. I love wizards. And I was like, let's put this wizard music on. And it just ended me. Like, mom and dad came home and I was on my like third listen through of the album, just up to like 11, as loud as it would go. And I loved that. And so like, we never had to listen to kids music growing up. And since this is a conversation y'all are engaged in, I would argue that it's almost no such thing as kids music. There's just music that you like. My favorite song, other than that, when I was even younger, when I was like 8, my favorite song in the world was Cocaine by Eric Clapton. And so I would just go stomping around the house, just stomping around going, if you wanna get down, down on the ground, Cocaine. And like, my mom and dad looked at me at some point and were like, do we just let our 8-year-old son scream Cocaine like as long as he wants? And they were like, he doesn't know what the hell he's singing about. Now, years later, when someone was like, would you like some of this? I was like, Eric Clapton liked it. Sweet. So, you know, consequences.
That's awesome. I love that. Adam, what about you?
I ignored music for a bit. Like, I don't think I started listening to music until I was in middle school, because everything prior to that was Weird Al, which is weird because not having context for the...
No influence on what we're doing at all.
Oh, Weird Al counts, man. Bat, fat, and all that stuff. Come on, like a surgeon, Weird Al counts.
No, absolutely. And I respect him so much. But it's funny looking back and being like, I didn't know what he was parodying. I just knew that I liked it. And I thought it was funny and amusing. When I found the music, the rock music that I loved, it wasn't because of a copy of a Wizard album. It was because I played Guitar Hero once and I saw School of Rock and I was like, yeah, that's the cool music. Yeah. and so that is what led me down the path of getting into playing instruments myself and, you know, collecting CDs. How outdated. Now I have vinyl. How more outdated.
You got to talk about the dad rock band that you were in.
Oh, that's right. Right before I went to college, I did shack up with a bunch of mid-40-year-olds and played lead guitar in a dad rock band. But it was a very weird dad rock band because, you know, we'd do like, all right now. But then we'd also do like Ani DeFranco in the middle of it. It's for a town of 3,000 Midwestern Iowans in the United States. So it's like it's a very strange mix.
And what do you have to be a dad band? Do you have to be a chronological dad? Like, do you have to literally have, you know, spawned life, or is it just dad as in an ideology?
Dad, what is daddy?
bad jokes, you know.
I think it's an age and it's a state of mind.
Yeah,
and
that's
also
fair enough.
if you have kids, bonus points.
Yeah,
I think it's literally just how many Van Morrison albums you own. Once you hit three, you're like, all right, you've reached dad rock status.
It is a funny thing, isn't it? Because it's like you have to be male, you have to be older, and you have to be playing at an amateur level, right? And all of those things kind of combine together to make this idea. It's elusive though, right? This idea of dad rock. Yeah, because you wouldn't call like a professional band that's in their 40s that happen to have children a dad rock
band,
really.
Like you mean the Rolling Stones are just a dad rock band?
Wow. Are they like grandpa rock bands though? I reckon though that mums aren't really associated with rock though, are they? Like this is part of it.
Which is too bad. I will say that my wife is part of an all-female Pat Benatar cover band called Eggs Benatar, and they kick a great deal of ass. I mean, there you go.
Oh,
I mean,
my
that's a mom rock band if I've ever heard of one. And like, they're like, every once in a while, they're like, "Ooh, slipping a heart song, nerds." And like, yoop.
That's amazing. Yeah,
they're grand. And they play shows. Half of the band's also in a Thin Lizzy cover band. I mean, this is, again, we're getting into, this is late 30s, mid 40s, just goobery, cheesy nonsense. Really? It's just like, I mean, it's essentially all this is like rock and roll cosplay, right? Just like being real into Wolverine and dressing up like Wolverine. It's like, I'm going to pretend that I'm pick a beetle.
Oh, I love it. Well, maybe, look, this ties into what we normally ask people is about how family life, whatever that means, kind of fits into their professional worlds. And so maybe, this is kind of working, you know what I mean? You're talking about dad rock or mum rock or just, you know, having to fit it into age and stage, whether or not that's chronologically with family or just understanding that family bleeds in. Can you tell me a bit about that? Maybe Adam, do you want to start, and Alex, or Alex, you want to keep on your thread, you know, about how you kind of negotiate all the other stuff that's going on, and it can be directly related to your own family or just how you notice the people you're working with. Do you want to give me a bit of insight into that?
Like, for example, if you have kids, where are the kids while you're doing your podcast?
Yeah, we definitely don't have kids. There are no kids. We are not. My line is that I'm a professional uncle, and Adam's like 17. He's not old enough to have any kids yet.
I see that cheekiness in your eyes right now. I don't believe it.
Yeah, but you're sneaking into the dad rock, though. Like, I mean, okay, so here's the thing, Adam. While I'm assuming there's one or two dads there, did that just mean that it had to be a Sunday afternoon and you're allowed to go home early? Like, what, you know, how did playing with people, you know, like, was there anything like that kind of influenced what you were able to do or not do because people had family arrangements around you?
Actually, what I think also makes dad rock bands so great is that these are adults with responsibilities, but they also have money. And when they have money, they can buy all the cool toys and stuff to make it like as professional as like amateurs can. And they have the, you know, if they're taking the time to make themselves a band, they're going to practice. You know, they are investing their time and their money into this thing that is a passion of theirs. That, like, you know, I had friends who were in a band in high school and they were fine, but they were also like high schoolers, right? They had the best gear they could afford. They practiced sometimes. So I think being the age I was and being in a group of like playing with like adults who had life experience. I thought it was fantastic, really. And they had kids, and they would sometimes come in and just kind of sit and listen for a little bit until it got too loud, and then they'd leave, and it was a joy. Highway 9, shout out my old band.
It's the perfect dad rock band name too.
Also, there I should say I call it a dad rock band. Our singers were both women, so, and one of them was married to one of the dads in the band, so it was also a family affair, which was great.
And where are the kids there? Like, are the kids wearing their noise cancelling headphones and just sitting on the floor in the lounge room, or are they just tucked away with the video game console in the next room? Well,
you know, like I said, sometimes they would come through. I mean, they were old enough to kind of be just around the house on their own. But I mean, one of those kids is now a very accomplished piano player. So, you know, that kind of stuff really does. It rubs off a little bit, I think, that exposure and just seeing the atmosphere of like people having fun making music. It's a magical thing.
For sure.
You get in the groove. Oh, you can coast on that all day.
Beautiful. What about you, Alex?
I mean, my wife is a semi-professional barbershop singer. She competes internationally. She's an international champion. She's in a
Can we
large,
give her a shout out?
Yeah, absolutely. Meredith Ritt. She's a member of the Sirens of Gotham, and Voices of Gotham are the two big New York barbershop choruses. They won at St. Louis. I think it's 2 years ago. It was the last time they had a big international competition. So like, you know, that's just like a weird thing that happens. She also sings, God, she sings baritone in barbershop, which is the like fourth part that comes in and fills out harmonies. So listening to her practice with headphones on sounds like somebody's just having a stroke in the other room, because it's all weird harmony notes. But also she has to hear me record perverted versions of songs that I'm saying of fixing for while she's like trying to have a meeting. So this has been an interesting year. Also, Adam and I have done most of this podcast in quarantine. It's almost the entire life of the show. So like we've never recorded an episode sitting in the same room together ever, which is
us
weird
too.
Because it's
same.
Bizarre.
We're
right?
The same. Yeah.
And you just get used to this, but, that's been an interesting year. Navigating music together, because one of my other big jobs is that I sing for children. I am actually a children's entertainer. That is my big professional day job, which I don't know if it like adds to my like credentials. I don't know if it's actually like makes me more legitimate on this pod. I still think we're just two idiots looking at things and screaming. But it is a thing. Like kids love music. They really just do. And again, they respond. I've been singing for kids for about 6 years.
Can you tell us your professional name?
Dr. Alex. You can check me out at Grinnin and Groovin on Instagram or Dr. Alex and Friends on Facebook. And that's just like loads and loads and loads of like live streams from last year. I've just been, you know, screaming into a microphone, and about mid June, every kid in the world was like, I don't ever want to look at a screen ever again. And then that business sort of dried up a little bit, but we're starting to do outdoor sing-alongs and stuff again. And I do birthday parties, and I'm also a comedian and actor. So like I am a birthday clown in a lot of respects. And like, it's not a bad gig. You get to play music and make kids jump up and down and go nuts, and it's a lot of fun. And so I've done some stuff where I have like I have taken like Sunday Bloody Sunday and made it Sunday Ice Cream Sunday so that it's kid friendly and like all the parents get the joke. I sing Semi-Charmed Life, the Third Eye Blind song, for kids all the time. That song is about doing crystal meth, and like so like
I didn't even know that.
Oh yeah, it's in the. He says doing crystal meth will lift you up until you break. Yeah, and don't stop.
Oh my God, I don't think I've listened that closely to the lyrics.
Much like Eric Clapton's Cocaine, it is not a song in favor of doing crystal meth. They are not applauding, singing the praises of that heavenly substance. But you know, I mean, my answer usually is, don't bother. Like, the 3-year-old doesn't know what doing crystal meth will lift you up until you break means. They just know what do-do-do-do-do-do-do means, and they love to jump and spin and go nuts. Yeah, so there's just, like, a lot of... That's one of Kidz Bop's big things is that, and we talk about this constantly on the show, is this, like, these weird edits that they make. And often, often they'll edit a line and they'll just change a word. They won't, like, try to rewrite a whole lyric or make a different thing. Like, you can write Sunday Ice Cream Sunday and there's the weird outcome of it all, right? Like, it's just a song about eating ice cream because you were a good boy.
Why do you think they do it? So if the kids don't understand, a la your cocaine example, is it more about appeasing the other parents that are in the room? Like, oh, little Johnny over there, he's not singing that word about the drugs or being drunk. He's singing a different word when he's singing along to this Kidz Bop 21 album. Is that, do you think, what it is?
I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, the culture of conservative white America, I think, kind of wags its finger at dirty lyrics and innuendo. But I think the reason that they do it, even if they do it poorly, is just to, like, it's like seeing dirt on the wall and then going to clean it and you rub it and, like, the dirt is still there, but it's, like, a little less. Like, you still, like, there's clearly dirt on the wall, but you made an attempt, so okay, it's fine. That's what it feels like the censorship is to me. And sometimes the results are hilarious and even worse, but they can say, well, hey, look, we tried. It's more appropriate than what there was before. This is palatable to kids.
Yeah. Well, palatable to adults, because I think you're right. The kids don't know.
Right.
No.
And even if they do, they don't even know what the words are. You know, my daughter is, for example, she's going to her preschool at the moment. She's 3. It's called Hibiscus, which she continues to call Hibiscuits, which is hilarious to us, right? Hilarious. Hibiscuits. Hibiscuits are just so funny. And forever now will be Hibiscuits, right? We're not going to change that. That keeps us amused. So, you know, these parents that want to take the nice out of it, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Do you mind just telling us how you met? Like, I know that you've got this shared love now of the bop. Where did you get together?
We met in a distant land, a land so far away it could be your imagination. We met playing Dungeons and Dragons. We have a mutual friend.
That's
so
amazing.
We met over the table as we pretended to be a gnome and a hobbit, respectively. And then we became fast
Tiny
friends.
For life, baby.
Team Tiny, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. While we're at it, the mutual friend is Alex Stein, and he has a podcast on our podcast network called The Flora's Dungeon, and they do adventures. Listen to that.
There you go. Well, can you tell us, the last question we ask people is, ask them to finish the sentence the kids and I are listening to, which is just who in your orbit, your proud Uncle Adam, you know, proud Uncle Alex, or with the kids that you're, you know, playing to or with, Alex, could you just finish the sentence the kids and I are listening to? And like I say, it doesn't have to be kids stuff. It can be whatever you're kind of jamming on with little people around you. Could you finish that sentence for us? Tell us what we should be listening to with little people.
Anything that Kermit the Frog is involved with. I do have like one of my best friends has a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. And when I do get to go hang out with them, and like we jam, he also plays music. And so we jam and they want to sing and they want to play things. And it's just, they're going back through the Muppet Show right now. Oh, and so it's just gross. Like, yeah, so good. Well, again, they're Jim Henson, like never not change it. Like, let's let Rita Moreno do Fever in a skin tight red dress and let Animal be clearly into it. And like, let's do this. And you don't say anything, but like, you don't not say anything either. And you let people figure things out, you know, grow and learn and develop on their own. Instead of being like, you can't hear the word steal because you might be a thief. Anyway, yeah, anything, any Jim Henson related groovage.
Well, since I already mentioned him, I think the kids and I are listening to Weird Al. And then when they get a little bit older, the kids and I should listen to Australia's own King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, one of the greatest bands to ever live.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just interrupt you that band were my students? They studied at uni with me. They're amazing.
Oh, man. I just had a full-on Geek out. All right. Yeah. So that's what the kids and I are listening to. More Weird Al and more microtonal music. Expand your horizons.
Have you seen the People Vultures music video, the video clip?
Yes, I have. And I will make sure to share it with Alex afterwards, because it is a delight.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was actually filmed just up the road from me. And that music video is a huge hit in the house with my 5-year-old daughter and my husband, who's seeing that at the top of their lungs. And in fact, when she's even having a shower or a bath, she's like, People Vultures, you know, she'll just like yell it out in this kind of operatic voice, and the magic, the kind of like fantasy, whimsical bizarreness that happens in that music video is like captivating for adults and also for kids.
100%.
I mean, the veil's pretty thin for kids, man. If you look at a little child and you go, Nonagon Infinity opens the door, they're going to be like, okay, they don't. Yeah, yeah, sure. Point me at it. I'm going to run right through it like Alice and talk to a weird cat. Like, let's go. I'm not scared.
All right. Well, shall we? Gentlemen, we've it's so great to talk to you. I have a feeling we could do it for days, but you've got stuff to do, so we should let you be.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Friends at my house. There's some friends at my house.
You're listening to Music Mothers and Others.
Summertime fun. Soaking up the sun. Wet and splashy, we'll be soaking when we're done. Yeah, 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 yeah. Are you ready to get wet and splashy? Bring your super soaker, cause it's getting wet and splashy. It's some summertime fun, we're getting wet and splashy. Hey, what's up, buddy? How are you? Got your trunks and towel too? Put the sunscreen right on your face. Get your nose, it's not hard to do. And guess what? If you want to ride, my mom just bought us a slip and slide. That's not your speed? Okay, that's fine. The pool is now open. Go take a dive. You don't know my small surprise. Water fight, it's gonna be fly. And I'm gonna hit you in the face right with this water balloon. You'll get decked, you'll get soaked. Perfect throw, a good joke. Take a break from getting reamed, because hey, my mama's bringing hey the ice cream. What? Gobble it, swallow it, dripping down into your hand. Quick, click fast before you let it get all over. Man, I want to get back in there. Gotta make the most of summertime. I got my lotion reapplying. No birds, I'm feeling fine. Cannonball, belly flop. I dive down deep because I just can't stop. I'm holding my breath and I see something. Did someone lose this belly button ring? Grab your goggles and your floaties for this wet and splashy. I bought a noodle just for fun at this wet and splashy. My water pistol fully loaded for this wet and splashy. Make it rain with our soakers at this wet and splashy. Look, I got a hard hitter, got a super soaker with a pump action. 40 ounces over. What your gun has? Need a new piece, brother. You got wrecked, dude. Now this game's over.
I play chicken and I'll be on top. But there's my dad, he tells us to stop. He got a lecture, please stop all your clowning. No horseplay in here, you might end up drowning. And then you will flail, then you will gulp. You'll start to gag, you'll start to choke. Then I'll have to give you mouth to mouth and clear all the stuff out your throat. Drink some of this, it's just a Dasani. You gotta hydrate when you're at a pool party. We jump back in and my dad's right behind me. We get his clothes wet and he's yelling at me. I'm a summertime king with flip-flops, beach chair, shades all black. There's some slick aviators, now I'm on my knees. Boogie born skills, umami, yeah girl that's right. I'm Johnny Tsunami. And the day's done and it's time to eat, cause my dad bought meat and the hamburger buns. Big G stand for grill master. Oh, your dad can grill? Mine can do it faster. Good hang, did a pool thing. We got wet and splashy, let me explain. If you love this and need some vibes, when you want some pool, you just say my name.
Yeah, 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 you know that we got wet and splashy. Bring your floaties and your toys for this wet and splashy. Let the summer never stop at this wet and splashy. From the top, diving drop, you got wet and splashy. Now get your things and towel off from the wet and splashy. We feeling hot, hot, hot at this wet and splashy. Macaroni and hot dogs at the wet and splashy.
There's some friends at my house. There's some friends at my house. There's some friends at my house.
Music Mothers and Others is written and produced by Liz Dufresne and Shelley Brunt and edited by Nina Longfellow. We're broadcast on 2SER and across Australia on the Community Radio Network. We are also a podcast. Find our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms or our website, musicmothersandothers.com. Visit us on Instagram and Facebook to find out who our upcoming guests will be. See you next time.